Welcome to 100% Fresh with Two Chef Mission, where we bring a chef's perspective to the table that you can take to go. With over 10 years of professional kitchen experience each, we offer our insight on all things food for you each week. Our mission is to get you in the kitchen and cooking at home. Let's turn up the heat.
Welcome back to another episode of 100% Fresh with Two Chef Mission. Today, we're so excited to be here and be able to bring another boiling point.
Today's boiling point is going to be on knife safety.
That's a goodie right there. It's a good one.
A goodie?
Yeah, a goodie.
Okay, well, it's definitely a very important one that we have, that we use all the time.
Yeah.
Especially when we're working in professional kitchens. Now, obviously, slightly different being personal chefs, but Still
uphold
definitely,
ourselves.
Definitely important to do.
Oh, yeah.
In any kitchen. Oh, including, yeah. We use it at home, too.
I think that's honestly where this really comes to play, is that in a home kitchen, you really want to be safe around your knives, and you want to make sure that you take some of this stuff and then put it into your kitchen.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the purpose of showing the utilization of something that you can learn in a professional setting, but then taking it and bringing it home, basically.
Yeah.
As well as trying to kind of teach something that for us we think is like everyday normal thing to other people who might not be as strong in the kitchen or utilize different tips and skills and things like that.
Or it just might not even come to the forefront of their mind.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I don't think that you just think, let me learn about sharpening my knife, or let me just learn about the purpose of saying knife behind, or just behind in general.
Right.
But that's what we're going to do in this episode. So one of the top things with knife safety is keeping your knife sharp. Let's try that route instead of the other one I just said. So, why is it important to keep your knives? Wow.
You're having a fun day, aren't you?
I'm doing really good with the words. Why is it important to keep our knives sharp?
I would say one of the big reasons why is efficiency when you're cutting product, as well as, of course, this is knife safety.
Yeah, it's definitely a safety measure. And I would also say it's a precision thing, too.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be able to get the knife cuts that you want and
the way you want them.
And they'll be the most precise because you're not hacking up your ingredients.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, or having to put so much more pressure on your ingredients and tearing them up like that, too.
I'm not gonna lie, I've seen a few people, even in professional kitchens, where they go at it with, you know, a dull knife, either cutting vegetables or cutting herbs, and you see some not so pretty cuts coming out with those dull knives.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping your knife sharp, what are some ways that we can go ahead and
bring that to the front? Oh, you know what? I realized I was trying to connect the, like, where did my brain go? You know, those like fun mom brain moments. But the other safety thing with having your sharp knives, or your knives sharp, is that just like you're cutting ingredients, you know, we all make mistakes and sometimes we nick ourselves or we cut ourselves, right?
Yep.
If you have a sharp knife, it's gonna just do a clean cut and it'll be quick and, you know, sometimes you'll be able to feel it right away and to be able to stop it. But if you are having a dull knife, the problem is that, one, you're going to be putting more pressure on that knife, which means that if you cut yourself, you have more likelihood to do a deeper cut, as instead of just on the surface, as well as your blade is not sharp, so it's actually tearing your skin as opposed to doing a clean cut.
Yeah.
So those are just another little safety thing with having your knife sharp.
Right.
Now, when we go forward to your honing versus sharpening a knife.
So now, what would you say the difference, big difference between honing and sharpening are?
The big difference? They're completely different things.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Now, exactly like that. What equipment would you use for honing?
So, for honing your knife, you're going to use your steel. And for sharpening, you're going to use things like a whetstone. Okay. So, when you're honing your knife, a lot of people think, oh, I'm using my steel to sharpen my knife, which is not correct. You're actually just honing it, which is realigning the teeth on your blade. And of course, this is not a serrated knife because you're not... All you know what? Knives. Serrated knives, for the most part, just don't.
All knives have microscopic teeth, basically.
Yeah, but microscopic teeth. But yeah, the point is, we're not talking about...
tooth, you see a nice straight edge.
Yeah, but we're not talking about serrated knives because those are the ones where they tell you it's sharp forever. But anyways, so on your knife.
It's a whole other thing.
When you're... It is. Don't buy serrated knives.
Please. Especially the micro serrated. Those...
Really, those just hurt more if you cut yourself and they just kill your ingredients. But anyways, honing your knife, you use your steel because it's realigning the teeth on your blade, and it keeps your knife sharper longer.
Yep.
It does not sharpen. It just
helps. It helps with the longevity of your sharpness.
Well, yes. Your sharpness.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, if you need to sharpen your knife, that's when you're going to use things like a whetstone. Which generally they're either going to use water or they're going to use oil, very much kind of one or the other. You're not going to want to mix those.
Yeah, once now, you start using one of those methods on the one whetstone, you don't want to mix it and change it to the other one. It's not supposed to be that way.
You can also, it being that not everyone has these options, you can also get your knives sharpened.
Yeah. That's actually a really good service.
There's places that you can do that. Now, the other thing that my brain was like, go away, Melissa. You don't need that thought. Mm-hmm. It's just going to disappear into the abyss. is that, okay, so yes, when you're sharpening, if you do decide to learn yourself this trade... I'm sharpening on a whetstone. One, I'm sure there's many videos on Facebook.
On Facebook YouTube.
Why did I say Facebook?
Because you know what? Facebook actually has a lot of
they
videos.
They do, but they're probably shared from YouTube.
Well, they do have a lot of those, like, I'm going to teach you how to do this, especially with the fact that they've got a lot of streaming.
And there's a lot of chefs that are on Facebook.
And they do a lot of Facebook Live. So.
But, yes, so there's probably many, many videos online in a number of places that you can find where they teach you how to do this, as well as, I would imagine, blog posts, things like that.
Yep.
But when you're doing this, if you are in practice with it and stuff, you can also feel a difference on your blade as to which side needs to be adjusted and things, because you can feel the...
And you can feel where it's kind of more...
Raised or a little, yes.
Folded over. Mm-hmm.
So that is honing and sharpening.
Which are very important things to do.
Yes. And again, that'll help you in your life of having a safe kitchen with your knives.
Yeah.
So next we're going to talk about some knife use and some tips and safety things in that process. All right. Anything? Any tips?
One of the big tips, and this is something that I've seen... I feel you've told me stories about this from when you were in culinary school. Not that you did this.
I didn't do this, but I don't know.
Or do it. What? And actually, I've seen it on Worst Chefs in America.
Oh my gosh, thought of a tip, but I'm not going to
Okay,
it
no,
down.
You're fine. So I've seen this actually on Worst Chefs of America. It's on Food Network. Okay. A couple celebrity chefs, great show. One of the big things that Anne Burrell does to teach these people how to hold their knife, don't put your finger on top of your blade.
Well, it's just the sticking out, but that's because it messes with the way you're holding your knife.
It messes with how you're holding your knife, it messes with how you can cut, it messes with a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, just one of the basic tips is hold your knife with all your fingers around the handle of the blade.
Yeah. Well, it's going to give you the best leverage and things like that, where the other is just pointing at everything.
Some people might find that comfortable, but don't do it.
Yeah, don't. Now, also, I was going to say, oh my gosh, my brain does not want me to work today.
I was like, your brain is not wanting to cooperate today.
It's not. It's like, just don't do the thing.
Right, right.
Yep. So, but with using your knife, that's one with holding your hand placement with your knife hand. But on your other hand, where you're going to be holding ingredients, one of the best tips we could share is curl your fingers under so that your knuckles are what are facing out. Because you can scoot, which it's real great because we both are doing this as we're explaining it. But you can hold your ingredients with your fingers curled and move away from your blade as you're going, as well as the blade can just go right up against
your
knuckles.
Yep.
And you're not cutting yourself, you're just
You're using it as a guide. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's saving you from the possibility of cutting a fingertip off.
Which, again, working in professional kitchens, I've seen some people who have cut their fingers
off.
And
it's not fun.
No, it's not. Now, I would say I wasn't there. I was there to see the aftermath of their finger healed, but the stories that they've told me of how they cut their finger or how they cut off a tip of their finger with the knife because they were their hand placement was improper is the best way to say it.
Yep. And you're like, well, that wasn't supposed to be there.
Right. And I think one of the biggest reasons why a lot of people possibly end up injuring themselves with their knives are, and I saw you wrote this down on your notes, is if you happen to see a knife falling and people try to catch it.
You jumped ahead.
I did jump ahead a little bit.
You jumped ahead. You weren't supposed to do that. But, I'm going to break the rules.
Yeah, you know what?
Jump ahead. But no, never catch a falling knife. And I'm going to be the first to admit that I am that person.
Yeah.
That has been at my table and is like, catch falling ingredients or whatever. And, like, it's crazy. If you've seen Ratatouille, right, where, like, he's doing the things, and then he catches the thing of salt and all that stuff. I've totally done that before, and that's how I know that I would be that crazy person who would try to catch a falling knife.
You know what's funny? I've done the catching ingredients off your table as it's falling.
Yeah.
I've done it before.
It's cool because you feel like a badass ninja.
You do.
But you also were like, oh, shit, I would try to catch a knife.
I will also say that knowing that I've caught falling ingredients,
I have
had knives actually fall off the table as I'm prepping stuff. And my first instinct is to try and catch, but my secondary takes over and steps back.
I'm not going to lie. I had on a table, like, the knife, like, I don't even know how this occurred, but it was, like, nudge and, like, spin. And it was, like, a fidget spinner. But I, like, stopped it and then was like, oh, man, I'm stupid. But luckily, I didn't cut myself by doing that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely good luck. You know,
yeah, but it was a little bit that was almost a near miss, right? Scary.
Exactly.
But yeah, don't try to catch falling knives. Just step away from them.
Yeah.
Step back and let it fall.
Now, be safe.
You could damage your knife by this, but it's better than damaging your body.
You know what? You can always find pretty decent knives for a pretty inexpensive price.
Yeah.
If you actually do your research.
You can't get a new foot.
You don't want to have to go into the doctors and say, I dropped my knife and I tried to catch it. And
it went in my foot.
And
or
gashed,
it went in my leg. Or my hand.
Or it gashed my hand open and now I'm bleeding.
And
like
it's
crazy.
Got to, because, you know, for us in the career of culinary, like, if we screw up our hands, we're screwed.
Oh, yeah. That's like our entire livelihood. It's like a hand model. Except we
except
don't keep
for,
them pretty.
No, we don't. Because burns and nicks and all kinds of stuff, no. But falling knives, no.
Do not catch.
Step back.
Let them fall.
But step back. Because if it's going to fall, you also don't want it to fall on your foot.
Oh, exactly.
Because, no.
So
going a little bit backwards, or Tony jumped ahead.
I don't think it's backwards.
You did, because what do you need the knife to fall if you don't have your cutting board? And you're already doing stuff, right? Yours just jumped off the counter.
Yeah, anyways. You know what? It's like a dancing bear. It just decided, I'm going to jump off the counter.
A dancing bear?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why is the dancing bear on a counter?
I don't know, because he is.
Where did this come from? So, on the ramblings of Tennis and Tony.
Yeah.
If you ever wanted to know what
a day in our life
is. Yeah.
This is what it is.
Crazy, a lot of crazy. Crazy marriage, right?
A lot of craziness. Yeah.
But when you're using your knife, you need a cutting board, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I have a cutting board that's, let's say, 8 inches, do I need a 12-inch knife?
Duh.
If you're the wrong.
Best.
If you're wrong, you do.
Well,
no.
See, if you have an 8-inch cutting board, what you really want to get is you want to get yourself like a 13-inch machete. And that's how you want to cut stuff.
13-inch.
All joking aside. All joking aside.
No. You
that's
don't.
That's the wrong size.
You don't want your blade to be going off of your cutting board. Because one, more likely you're going to damage your blade. And also, if your prep area has, you're going to stab ingredients and all kinds of stuff. It just makes a mess.
I'm not going to lie. I've done that before. Not that the blade was bigger than the cutting board.
But
the cutting
make a
board
mess.
Was bigger. Well, yeah, of course, I always make a mess somewhere. But, no, I've actually, as I was cutting stuff, I realized that
you
the
had, like,
tip of the knife was stabbing into,
things,
like,
yeah.
a zucchini
that means
at
you
the
cut,
top.
That means your knife was too long.
No, it's I was cutting too high up on the cutting board.
Oh, well, that's just silly.
Exactly.
But the point is that your knife should be able to fit on the cutting board without sticking out.
Yep.
That's because,
a really good thing.
Yeah, it is. Now,
if you were to... I'm gonna cut you off a little bit. If you were to, let's say, be preparing either steak or chicken, and you needed to break it down, well, the chicken you need to break down, what type of knife would you use?
A boning knife.
Okay, so now would you say that there are specific knives to use for specific jobs?
Why you guys steal the thunder of me introducing topics? It's right there. Specific knives for specific uses. But yes.
Helping bring in
you're
the
helping,
point.
You're like, let me just. No, there's definitely specific knives for each.
Job.
Role. Thank you. I was like, I lost that word. It's real great for getting words. It's not.
It happens.
It's not. It does happen.
Sometimes a little too often.
Yeah. Especially when you have to explain them. When you're like, the thing that you do, that's a thing.
Yeah. Funny thing
you're
is...
You're job.
Funny thing. I'm going to go on a little bit of a off-topic rant. I saw something on Facebook, and it was talking about, like, what people think multilingual
people
talk
like.
Oh, yes.
Like, the thing
or, like,
where they're
how their
like,
brain
yes.
is.
But and it was like...
And then it's like,
a hat
how they
for
actually
the,
are.
The pot, and you're like, the hat for it. And you're
yeah,
like...
Yeah, because you forgot the word.
Lid.
You
yes,
forgot the
I
word
remember that.
French.
Because... Yeah, because someone, yeah, it's a thing. I read the thing today because you and I are friends with similar people, and I know the person that posted it.
I don't know who the person it was.
Yeah, but I know.
I probably do know.
Know before you go, Tony. Anyways. So, as Tony was saying, when you're breaking down meats, things like that, boning knife. I mean, I guess you could hypothetically use other knives, but it's not going to work.
As well.
Efficiently. Because there's reasons why some knives are smaller. Like, if you look at a boning knife, it's got that curve that's going to hook into, like...
The crevices.
Your
that
crevices and bones
into, yep.
and, like, stuff. And you have your chef knife that would, it's just huge and...
Yeah, there's no reason for
it's
you
just
to
like,
use a chef knife.
Technically speaking, so... Right, when you go to culinary school, or... I don't know. I'm sure that you could learn this other places, too. Duh. Like, not everything is learned in culinary school. But... Technically speaking, if I'm peeling an onion,
right.
I'm supposed to use a paring knife to peel the onion.
Really?
So cut top off, peel, yes, and then peel the root end, and then I use my chef knife to cut and dice.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. You want your chef knife to do that.
But like,
for me,
your
I
paring knife,
I wouldn't
the thing is,
the
is what's nice
part.
About paring knife is, my brain was like, what's nice about the paring knife? With a paring knife is that you can use, like, up close, like, so you're holding the ingredients and doing it. Like, so, like, tourneing, but then there's a tourneer knife.
Right, but that's specific to that cut.
Yeah, if you did tourneys, just look it up. Tourneer cut. It's interesting. Not fun to do. Very easy to cut yourself. Anyways.
Sorry
for... But there's specific knives, like, for that. But you could also use a paring knife.
Right.
Now, there's many different jobs for different knives, which we can, in the notes, give you tips on what knives to use for different jobs.
Right.
Or different things. But not every knife is created equal.
No,
it's
really
kind
not.
Of the point there.
It's like you can even just look at, you know, a good half a dozen knives, and you can see, like, half a dozen different knives. And you can see how they're all built,
like,
differently.
It's real bad, but my brain's like, half a dozen knives. If we ever counted how many knives we have, it'd
we
be
have
crazy.
A lot. We have more than half a dozen.
But it's...
I will say that.
It's our profession, so...
Yeah, so it's not really...
Kind of important.
...that weird for us to have that many.
I'm sure people think it's weird.
But, you know, if you're a culinary enthusiast, if you're somebody who loves to cook and loves to, you know, create masterful-type food, then, yeah.
Masterful?
Yeah.
Masterful of food.
And it's like masterful works of art on a plate.
On a plate.
That people ingest. And
that are gone
yeah,
in a few
well,
minutes.
You know
ephemeral
what?
Art.
That's exactly it.
Do you know what ephemeral art is?
It's art that is not meant to last.
Yeah. It's actually cool because in culinary school, I had to do like a... It was supposed to be like an English class, but it like related a lot to art and stuff, and we all had to select an art. And it was cool because I picked ephemeral art because I was like, that's what I'm already doing because culinary.
That's funny.
Anyways. Side note, right?
Exactly.
So.
Bits about her personality.
Yes. So we've talked a number of things about knife use, tips, being safe. Anything you have to add? So we've what covered?
I don't
know. How
really
to hold your knife
think...
and cut, you know, cutting board, not catching a falling knife.
Right.
Specific jobs for a knife.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I have any extra tips right now. Maybe we could probably put some in the description that we don't think of right now.
Ah.
So
it's possible.
Keep an eye on that. Check it out.
Now, something that's very important in a kitchen, for
especially us, if you have multiple people,
people walking around. Yeah. So, you know, when we're in professional kitchens, like we use it at home too because we are in the kitchen together.
I use it at the store.
Cook, use it at the. Oh my gosh! Right, and then people are like, "What?"
Yeah, people get really confused.
Yes.
By the way.
But the point is that we have. This is like ingrained in us. Is if we're holding a knife and we're walking anywhere in our kitchen, whether we're at home or at work, we're telling you knife behind.
Yeah. So you announce where you are and what you're doing.
Yeah. And you also never point your knife just sticking out.
No.
Like, I'm just gonna
we're not
you're not looking to stab someone.
We're not Michael Myers in Halloween.
Yeah, you don't want that. But the point is that you're saying knife behind because in the culinary world, the person's gonna say heard,
right?
Because then they also know.
It's a quick form of communicating exactly what is going on in that time,
yeah.
And that's what I really do love about the culinary industry.
Well, yeah, because it's very
you to do
communicative
it.
Because it's super important, and it's funny because I was thinking because when I was like someone's gonna say heard, and I think I just drew on my face. But anyways,
you didn't.
That's good. Anyways, it's funny because when we did the camp last year for the future leaders, I was like, I would say something and then be like, heard.
Yeah.
And be like, heard.
I remember.
Because
that.
Once it's ingrained in you, it's there forever.
In fact, and I actually worked at another kitchen.
And when someone kept getting super mad at you for being
actually
like,
one of my leaders, heard. One of my leaders would be upset because I would say heard.
And
as a
it was
form of acknowledgement,
offensive.
But it wasn't necessarily that it was offensive.
What was it then?
It was that her daughter
also said heard?
Said heard growing up as a sign of to just get mom to stop talking. To say, oh, I heard you. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to talk anymore. So she now associates heard with that as opposed to associating it with a form of communication, acknowledging, okay, I understand what you're saying, and this is what we can do moving forward, or this is what I will do moving forward. So yeah, that was really interesting
stuff. Interesting. Yeah. Now, what Tony was talking about when he said that he does this in the store, by the way, he's not telling people knife behind in the store. He's just saying behind, because that's also another safety thing that you do in kitchens is you always tell people behind them, because if they step back, which I've had happen, and I had a chef catch me because a food runner did not say behind and I almost fell backwards. It was not fun.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I remember that story.
Yeah. You say behind, just like you say knife behind. And if you do that in the normal world, most people are like, what?
They turn around and kind of look at you. And they give you strange looks.
I wish more people did it.
I wish more people did it as well. I will say that saying it in grocery stores, sometimes people just don't listen. No. And they just completely ignore you. So when you basically almost hit them with your cart. Because you're trying
Disney
to,
too.
I've done it.
I just
at Disney.
Know it was recent because you were just like behind.
Yeah, and I was pushing a stroller.
Because the person was walking backwards. That's what it was.
Exactly. And I was pushing a stroller and I kept saying behind. And the person did not acknowledge me, nor did they want to basically get out of the way. So I had to like almost push them to get out of the way.
Yeah.
So if you ever hear somebody say behind you, then
they might work in a kitchen.
And just know that they're not saying it to be weird or strange. They're just letting you know, hey, I'm behind you.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to get hurt.
Yeah. So now for some final safety tips, we're going to talk about where knives should never be.
Oh, I got a good one. I got a good one for this.
Do you?
Yeah. So if you are doing your dishes and let's say that you're pre-soaking them before you throw them in the dishwasher or something. Because
yeah, so
I usually like to pre-clean them before
like
going in the
dishwasher.
Like a sink
of soapy water or
a sink
just
of soapy
a sink
water,
full
yeah.
of dishes.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Never put a knife just in there. Because one, you're going to get the surprise of a knife versus like a bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not going to be fun.
No. It's actually a big safety issue that should be addressed more often. I've seen it in other kitchens that I've worked in where people would just throw a knife into a sink full of soapy water. Yeah. And honestly, it's one of those that should have never happened.
Yep. So, never in the sink.
And
one that can also damage your knives,
yep.
Which is another thing you don't want. Also,
Don't hide them.
You should not... Don't hide it. Yeah. Not in between plates and all this stuff. Like, that's not a good idea. But also, if you're on your cutting board and, like... having it, like, one, facing the complete opposite direction where it could stab you or someone else, or having it just, if you have kids, this is an important one, because we've, having a young one that is short enough that he cannot see what's on top of the counter, but tall enough that he can reach the stuff, Wyatt's first instinct is like, what's on the counter, and grabs things, right?
Yes.
So if we're stepping away, we move the knives to where if he grabbed the cutting board, the only thing that might fall on him is ingredients and a cutting board, not a knife at all.
Exactly.
So if you have kids that might be in your kitchen, that's a tip.
Yeah.
But you don't want to hide them like
in
where you could
things.
Be grabbing things. So like underneath your cutting board or like things like that. You want it to be where you're seeing it. So for us, we usually set it next to the sink where you can see every knife that's there.
And we have one spot where we put all our knives, where we'll just line them up next to each other. And that's just what we do.
And I would say that I think my final like little safety tip is have a good way to store your knives, whether it's in a block. Some people do the magnetic strips, but if you're putting them in a drawer, things like that, one, to help keep your blade sharper longer, as well as you're not gonna possibly hurt yourself by cutting yourself when you're reaching in, use a knife cover, which you can buy knife covers at different cooking stores.
I'm pretty sure you can buy it at most like grocery stores too, or like supermarkets, like let's say like Walmart.
You know what? I don't know that that's true because I haven't found. I had a hard time finding them. I went to a lot of the more towards the cooking outlet stores, that kind of stuff, where they have kind of your different tools and things like that.
Or
but it's
check
or,
Amazon.
Yeah, I was like go online.
Check Amazon. They have everything.
Mm-hmm.
actually have everything.
But the true cover for your knife is not going to mean that part of your blade sticks out. You need it to be a bit longer than your knife blade.
Yes.
Because you want it to protect the whole blade.
Yeah. You basically want all of it to be, like you said, protected.
So we hope that these tips help you learn more about knife safety and maybe utilize some of them. Maybe you've heard all of these or you've done your research and you know them, but we hope that maybe you found some of our little tangents enjoyable.
And you know what? Here at Two Shift Mission, we love you guys. We hope you guys keep listening. Share it to a friend. And we will catch you on our next episode.
Keep it 100% fresh.
Thanks for listening. If you loved this podcast, please give us a review. We love being able to offer new content, and we hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy making it. So any support helps, from sharing the podcast to donating on anchor.fm or checking out Two Chef Mission meal plans on our website, twochefmission.com. Until next time, keep it 100% fresh.